the biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers.
No argument the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be close to.
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
It's been a minute, huh? I thought the Packers were good again.
I thought so too.
Right? Wasn't that like last year where the Packers weren't good?
Yeah, what do you mean you thought the Packers were good again? When did you think they weren't good?
Then why are they playing at noon all the time and our show gets bumped?
Maybe the NFL was skeptical.
Good teams don't play at noon all the time, right? I mean,
no, maybe they want marquee matchups at noon.
We went through two decades of never having noon games, and now this show is getting bumped all the time because the Packers are playing at noon.
Yeah, I'm glad you let people know it wasn't us.
Unless
it was the NFL.
Unless that's the Jaguars. Like, it's just like when you play the Jaguars, you're going to play at noon. It doesn't matter who you are. You may play at 9 if you're, like, in
London.
But you ain't playing later than noon if you're playing the Jaguars.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that.
But I don't think the Packers played the Jaguars every week. I mean, that's wild. I mean, it took one of the games of the year, which today is, to finally get us to have a show.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm telling you, they just wanted to have the marquee matchup of the Packers at noon, you know, to make sure they can drive that 12 o'clock noon, 1 o'clock
Obviously
Eastern.
Obviously not, because they're not having the Packers-Lions game at noon, right?
Well, like, a little different. They wanted to drive it.
When there's a big-time game, it's not at noon. And so, finally, the Packers are in this spot where we get to do a show. They get to play a big-time game. Jordan Love gets to play through injury. Gets to do his Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. He's going to play, whether it's in the best interest of the team, long-term or not. You're going to throw your guy out there in a big-time game, right? I mean, that's kind of how the NFL works.
You laying it out there. That's your stance.
What do you mean?
Your stance is Jordan Love should be playing today regardless. If he feels okay, he should play.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that is what's happening. I don't know enough about his individual situation to make a comment on what he should be doing. I mean, obviously, if he's going to put himself at risk for the rest of the season, he shouldn't be playing. But you could say that about any game, right? Then you might as well wait till the postseason to try to play.
I mean, I would say sometimes you need to just figure out how hurt somebody is.
Right. I mean, no. And what I'm saying is I trust that the Packers have done that, right? That they haven't. They're not. I mean, they've seen they can win games without Jordan Love. So I don't,
undefeated without him.
Right. So I don't think. I trust them enough to know that they're not being irresponsible to play him in this game from his health standpoint. Now, what I don't know is if some of the interceptions we saw against Minnesota were like, oh, his plant leg wasn't this or that, and he was still trying to make the same throws. And so coming back from injury, he's more likely to make mistakes. But I think a Jordan Love who is more likely to make mistakes is still more likely to win the game than Willis today.
I think Jordan Love, when you talk about mistakes, yeah, if he is able to maneuver around the pocket and be himself, right? Like he's not, as we saw in the first half against the Vikings, where he obviously wasn't comfortable yet. It was only his second game of the season.
I guess just play it this way. If Malik Willis is playing, what chance do you give the Packers today?
Oh, I'll give him a 40% chance.
That high?
I mean,
Because that's, I mean, if you look right now, the Packers are seen to have a 45.2% chance to win With Jordan Love.
Yeah, with Jordan Love, I think it's at home, 50-50.
Okay.
50-50 at home. Because the Lions are not going to play at this level
forever.
Now, that's
a healthy Jordan Love?
That is a healthy Jordan Love. Somebody who's not hampered in the pocket, right?
Right.
Somebody
so maybe
who's
if it's
moving.
Willis is 40, Jordan Love's 50-50 at home, and the Jordan Love we're going to see today is maybe 45.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's what it is.
Yep. I think that's totally fair. And I think what the Packers have to be genuinely excited about, and Packers fans, I know they haven't gotten the style points every week, is that Jordan Love has missed extended action this year and through pretty much half the season, right? I know it's a 17-game season now. This team's 6-2, right? Like, I mean, this is pretty impressive. And I know games have been coming down to last-second field goals, but they've been making them. And when you look at it, there's only two teams in the NFL, the Chiefs and the Lions, that have a better record than the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, but there are going to be other teams, like the Vikings have two losses with the Green Bay Packers.
I'm talking about just in general.
Vikings
are 5-2. Eagles are 5-2. The other 6-2 teams are the Steelers, Commanders, and Bills.
And I would say
there's only two teams that have a better record than the Packers.
Yeah, I think
and the Lions are that team in the NFC.
I think that speaks to the overall growth of this football team from last year to this year. As you were talking about at the start of the show, that we thought this was a little bit different of a football team. They should be playing later games, more marquee matchups for the primetime football. But overall, I think that just is indicative of the growth the Packers have made, because last year they weren't able to win those close games. Last year they were trying to figure things out.
Especially early in the season,
yeah.
Right? Like lose at the Raiders, there were some of those like...
Against bad teams.
Yeah. Now,
they're not losing to bad teams right now.
Now, the question is, the defense is turning everybody over and all that. How good of an offense have they been playing against, right? Because we know Anthony Richardson has not impressed outside of the Packers game, so I don't know how much credit we want to give.
He wasn't even impressive in that game.
No, he was terrible.
Yeah,
awful. So I don't know how much we want to give the Packers credit for that defense. I don't know that the Titans, right, that Levis has been much of an impressive quarterback.
He's benched now.
Right? So I don't know. He's not benched. He was hurt. He is being given the job back.
Oh, he was healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy scratch, I say.
Okay. We know the Vikings put up numbers on the Packers. The Rams were missing Kupp and Nacua.
They were.
When they played the Packers. Arizona Cardinals.
They were healthy.
Yep.
They were healthy.
And then the Texans, we know, came in without Nico Collins and left without Stephon Diggs. Right? So, I mean, the Jaguars...
No, the Jaguars last week, the thing that was stunning for me on the last drive, the Jaguars were missing three of their top wide receivers, right? And so, yes, this defense, for me, there is still some work that needs to be done. But overall, Craig, something that we have to find a positive is the fact that, like you said, they're able to force turnovers. We have to find the bright spot step in the right direction. And I overall feel this has been a step in the right direction, because most of those games, the defense was able to hold their own. Now, I know last week was disappointing with the defense at the end of the game. But overall, all those games, whether you're talking about the game against the Colts, whether you're talking about the game against the Titans, this defense held their own for the most part.
Yeah, and we know that the turnovers were the biggest, missing link from this defense last year. And to look up right now and to see in the NFL, the Lions and the Vikings and the Steelers and the Niners are tied for the second most takeaways with 15.
Behind us.
And you know how many the Packers have?
I think the Packers have 19.
19. So all those teams have 15 and that's second, and this team has 19, which is crazy, right? Like, I mean,
no, it's not crazy. I predicted that to start the year.
I mean, I predicted that this team would have 50% more turnovers forced than they did last year, but this is even more than that. I mean, this is more than two a game, which nobody averaged, I think, in the NFL last year. I think like 1.9 a game might be the highest. And I know we're not, through the year, but they're averaging almost 2.5 turnovers a game. If they had one more turnover, they'd be forcing 2.5 turnovers a game. So, speaking of turnovers, the Milwaukee Bucks lost last night, and
maybe the
biggest reason was turnovers. If you look at what the difference was between, in a really evenly played game between the Bucks and the Cleveland Cavaliers, that came down to Dame Lillard hitting big time shot, And then Donovan Mitchell hits a big time shot that he wanted to go earlier, which would have given them, if he had made it, would have given the Bucks a better chance at a game winner. But the Bucks played such good defense that he didn't get his shot off and to make it until there were 0.3 seconds left. So then the Bucks only had 0.3 on the back end. So the fact that the Bucks played good defense on that next to last possession almost worked against them getting a last second shot off. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell just hit a big time shot.
I didn't even want to see it because I thought the Bucks came back and won. I thought they won the game. I was at the black and white ball yesterday and we did the after party. So I didn't watch the game. And so then I saw that Dame got hot, started cooking in the fourth quarter, at least from what I saw.
No, Dame was cooking in the first quarter.
Well, he closed it out, didn't he?
Yeah, he had 18 in the first quarter, en route to 41 overall, but he was hitting big shots down the stretch.
That's
10
what I saw.
3-pointers, Bucks record, like all that. Giannis played great. Torian Prince played great. They were playing against an undefeated Cavs team, and the Bucks are still playing without Chris Middleton. And you know, Bucks. You hate to say it this way, but you actually felt really good coming off last night compared to the efforts you had seen in the previous four games. And I won't say the entire game against the Celtics, because the first half the Bucks did look good against the Celtics, but losing at home against the Bulls, losing at the Brooklyn Nets,
yeah,
were both terrible losses. And then you go to the Grizzlies, and that's a tough place to play sometimes, but you figure having just lost to the Celtics and having lost three in a row, you thought the Bucks would put up a better effort than they did at
Memphis. Craig, by the time I got home from work on Thursday when they were playing Memphis,
yeah,
I saw the game was like a 15, 20 point. I said, wasn't that? I can't even watch it. I can't stomach to watch any of this right now because I need Wisconsin sports to do better. I'm after the Brewers got put out, I couldn't watch any baseball. I want to enjoy basketball. The Bucks, you know, they were impressive game one.
I'm trying to enjoy Wisconsin sports. We also have not mentioned yet what happened last night in Iowa.
I didn't see it, but I'm glad I didn't.
I mean, you're not seeing it. We know you were at the big event. So tell us about the Urban League of Milwaukee event last night.
The Greater Milwaukee Urban League was a great event. It was fantastic, raising money for different community initiatives that they have, whether it's education, employment, and advocacy across Greater Milwaukee. That's great, but I miss train wrecks. That's what it sounds like. I missed the absolute train wreck and a disaster.
Right, you were at the black and white ball.
I was.
What happened at Wisconsin Sports was black and blue last night, right?
I guess so.
As the Bucks end up losing at home to the Cavs, the Badgers end up getting just throttled
Craig.
Yeah, here's the deal. I want to know what people are excited, upset, whatever about. So we are going to do it. It's very rare. What we're going to do right now, it is open phones, open texts. Next segment, till we get to Wildy at 10:30, your thoughts on what's going on, what you care most about. By the way, it could be Willie Adames. It could be whatever it is. Next segment, your thoughts, 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Your thoughts on the Bucks, the Packers, the Badgers, whatever team right now, the Brewers, it could be, whatever team has you going. By the way, I'm going to the Marquette game Monday night. Marquette, there we go. Well, all of it could be in the mix. Badgers got throttled by Nebraska on Friday night, right? A little volleyball action.
I saw the score for that. I said 3-0.
All right. Whatever your team, give me a call right now. I promise you if you call, we'll get to you next segment. We've been gone for a long time, so we have a lot to catch up on. Text us 800-990-3776. That's 800-990-ESPN. Call now, 800-990-ESPN. That's 800-990-3776. That's your call and text line. We'll get to all of your thoughts on all of your teams as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Good morning, and great to be back with you. Been a little while as the Packers have been playing some noon games, so we've been bumped, but great to be with you as maybe you're heading up to Lambeau right now, heading back from church. Who knows what you're doing on a Sunday, but we're happy that you choose to do it with us as we take you up until noon when it is the start of your NFL Sunday. Packers playing at 3:25. We'll talk to Strophy and get you ready with the Green and Gold Game Day crew leading into your game, the best way to be occupied for your drive up to Lambeau or during your football Sunday is our crew that is coming up next. But right now, we want to give you the chance to jump in. There's so much going on. Badgers get destroyed last night in Iowa. The Bucks lose a tight one at Fiserv Forum. Packers getting ready for a big one. We just heard Matt and Myron talking about it leading into our show about how big a deal this is, that this pretty much gives the Lions a 2.5 game lead if the Lions were to beat the Packers. So massive game here. And sure, we're reading the articles that you are, right? I'm seeing, oh, Willie Adames is this great fit for the Atlanta Braves, and Orlando Arcia, who only makes $2 million, could get bumped to make the Braves' offense better, to put Willie Adames with the Braves. All of those depressing potential scenarios that we know are likely, and we know we feel confident in what this Brewers team is going to be one way or the other. So jump in with us now, 800-990-3776. It's 800-990-ESPN. Let's start out with John, works in construction. You're on Sunday Karma. Morning, John.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We got you. What do you got, John?
Jordan Love, I think he's the greatest. But I think they criticize him just to, I don't know. I think he gets bad criticism, but he's going to be a great quarterback, I think, for the Packers.
Yeah, so do you think he should be playing today with coming off the injury and stuff, or would you rest him knowing how highly you think about him long term? Would you want him maybe getting an extra week of rest here?
Well, it depends, you know, how he feels. I mean, if he's physically ready to go, I think he should play. But if he's, you know, if he's hurt, then maybe he should sit it out.
Yeah, I mean, you got Lions, then a week off, then the Bears in Chicago, then back home for the 49ers. I mean, that is a stretch that will help decide the year. And so Jordan's thrown 9 picks, which is about what we're used to, more than we're used to seeing Aaron throw in a year. But you're still feeling, so if it was on you, John, to predict, you're saying we'd be looking at back-to-back-to-back Hall of Famers? You think Jordan's going to be that good?
Yeah, I think he'll be that good. I think he'll be real good. I just, yeah, he's going to be great. I think people are just, you know, they criticize the kid all the time. I mean, he's not a rookie, but this is just his second year playing, and last year he was phenomenal. I think he's going to take them to another level.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call, John. Jordan Love, 9 picks, which is, I think, more than any of us would have thought, considering he's missed 2-plus games. But, I mean, I think we all believe the Packers got it right, and are with John. Right?
Oh, yeah. I truly, he made me a believer last year. Like, yeah. I'm done sitting here questioning or being skeptical about things where I believe we've truly seen enough. So that's why I'm so sold on Malik Willis to be a really good backup quarterback. When you combined him with Matt LaFleur, I feel like the creativity allowed for the Packers to be competitive. I saw what I need to see with Jordan Love at the end of the year last year. Not only was he successful and led the Green Bay Packers to the playoffs, but then on top of that, the way he performed against the Dallas Cowboys in his first career playoff game after the way they started that season, that showed me exactly what the top was for Jordan Love. And for me, I'm sold.
800-990-ESPN. You could jump in with us now. 800-990-3776. John says this team is 6-2, and you guys have them losing already before the game's even played. Granted, it's the Lions, and it's a tough team, but that's why you play the games, and you guys both have them losing today already.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who is you guys?
That was the two of us.
I never said that. You asked me the percentage.
Right. We said we think it's about a 45% chance with an injured Jordan Love that they beat the Lions.
Yeah.
So we both think this is a possible win. I said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy that to me, you know, by the way, if this game was in Detroit, I would actually feel slightly better about it in a weird way, because I think, like the Packers, were able to sneak up on the Lions on Thanksgiving, and I really truly believe they did. I believe the Packers came out just so better ready to play that day. And remember, that was not a Halfley defense. That was the previous defense that came out and looked as good as it did on Thanksgiving last year against the Lions. I feel like the Lions, you get a little more focused version of them. The fact that Jordan Love is playing, you get a little more focused version of them. You know, Aiden Hutchinson still out, obviously a big advantage.
He's donezo for the year.
Oh, they've said maybe if they make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, which has never happened in the history of the Detroit Lions franchise.
If it's a big year for maybe.
Yeah, but if there was going to be a possible year, maybe this would be it. I mean, I did not pick the Packers in the Eagles game, right? I picked them to lose that game. I'm trying to think of how many other games this year I have.
I got the Packers undefeated this year.
Yeah, you have not.
I only lost twice.
Oh, I picked them to lose to the Texans, and I had them beat it.
You picked us to lose to the Texans?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, the game came down to the final field goal.
Packers were pretty much dominant that game. Come on now, stop playing with me, Craig. Joe Mixon had a day. He had a day, but they stifled
CJ Stroud.
And they didn't have Nico Collins, so you didn't believe in the Packers defense, clearly.
What I didn't believe is in the Packers running game. And so I thought...
What?
In the running defense, sorry. The running defense. So what I thought was Mixon would tear them up, and that would set up CJ Stroud, and I didn't believe the Packers offense would have that big a day. And... by the way, I thought the Packers would lose to the Titans at Tennessee, which they won 30-14.
Oh, my gosh.
What? I'm being honest. I'm pulling out my real receipts.
Your real receipts. These receipts suck.
But I'm saying Malik Willis going into that game, we had no idea what he could be. Because remember, at home against the Colts, they did not throw the ball. All they did was run the ball that whole game. They did not trust Malik Willis.
And the
Titans going into that game had one of the best defenses in the league.
Craig.
Just because I'm being honest after the fact, why are you going to be mad at me for being honest?
No, because I mean...
because everyone else who is in sports media has to be dishonest about what happened?
No, but the thing is that Malik Willis, for me, you can say they didn't throw the ball that much, which is true. They didn't have to throw the ball. They could run the ball.
Against the Colts? They won 16-10. They lost that game by being so conservative.
They didn't almost lose the game.
Yes, they did.
The Colts had a chance to score it late?
Yes.
Oh, well, their defense put them away, just like they did most of that game. They shut them down.
Yes.
But, Craig, the thing is Malik Willis, you got to look at the, you know, you can't look at the big picture. The game plan was to run the football, right? But then you have to look at when a guy has an opportunity, when they are called upon to execute. He executed when he needed to, right?
He did,
and that gave me the confidence.
And we didn't know that he was going to be able to do that at Tennessee against a defense.
I don't know who is this we? Ain't me.
Against a defense which at that point looked like an elite defense. Remember, the Titans only lost to the Bears because they gave away that game. The Titans only lost to the Jets, and those were the two games that they had played, like, based on some last-second Aaron Rodgers, like, drive. So what I'm saying is I don't show up and just pick the Packers every week. That's not, like, what I do here.
Excuse me, is that a shot at me? What do you mean I just show up and pick the Packers? I have a reason
you
behind
picking
the Packers.
You just said they picked them every week.
I have a reason.
Let's get into some Badger stuff. Brandon in Tulsa says, I'm an Oklahoma fan, and the Sooners are in the same boat as the Badgers. We stink. Luke Fickell and Brent Venables aren't bad coaches, but they haven't figured out how to attract the best players. Until there's a salary cap and tight restrictions on the transfer portal, I don't see anything getting better. Jeff in the 920 says Luke Fickell is totally over his head in the Big Ten. Mac has to put him out of his misery and move on next season, or we'll be getting blown out just like last night, which is embarrassing. Bloody says the Badgers must have the patience to get a guy in, pay him, and teach him the Wisconsin football way. They can't worry about him leaving, as if he's paid fairly, treated well, he will stay. The Bucks have to figure out who on the bench can actually play and let them learn the role, which I do think once Chris Middleton's back, right, that naturally makes the bench better. Last night, bench outscored 34-13. Bench gets better just by Chris Middleton coming back. Having two of the four stars on the court once we get Chris back, Bloody says, at all times, and leading the bench players would be better. Packers get the lines back settled in. Way too many offensive linemen getting past our defensive line and locking them down. That's still no rush. There you have it from all different angles. The only angle that we need now is
Jason Wilde.
Yes, he's coming up next. By the way, let's sneak in Dave from Aaron, who said, Kyle was playing hooky Friday, but I texted KBN. I feel good about the Packers today. In fact, with a game-winning field goal, once again.
Would you read those lies? You could have skipped the hooky part.
Packers 31-28 will take the W from Dave from Aaron.
I like the pick.
Wow, so you didn't watch any games last night because you were at the black and white ball. You also skipped the show on Friday.
I was at a wedding Friday, a 3 o'clock
Look
Friday
at
wedding.
You.
Shout out to my guy, Greg, who listens to KBN. I came into the wedding and we were talking. He was like, wait, you work 94.5? I listened to that. I said, brother, I'm Kyle.
Well, Greg Marcus, when he met you after, I was like, do you know who that is? He's like, no. I was like, that's Kyle from KBN. He's like, what, from KBN?
Oh, did he?
Greg Marcus was like, oh, why didn't you tell me it was Kyle from KBN?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people say I don't look how I sound.
Yeah, there you go. Well, one guy who does look how he sounds is Jason Wilde. He's up next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Pocket so fat, call me Orbit. Gotta wait for me to move it, I be loaded.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
By the way, Kyle, how about that Commanders last play against the Bears last week?
Craig, I was watching it live.
Watching it?
I just got back from Michigan. And so I got back from Michigan. I was kind of relaxing. And I said, well, let me just turn on this stupid Bears game. And boy, Craig, when I say I turned it on at the right time, I jumped up and said, yes!
Did that feel like as good as any, like, Packers win or not like that?
You know, it felt better than the Packers field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Packers field goal was like expected because of how close it was. That one, I was like, oh my goodness, I love seeing the Bears suffer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one guy who we know doesn't care, but he does root for the best story. So maybe he liked that Hail Mary is Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Yeah, not a great story for Tyreek Stevenson, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is, right? Like, I think isn't that the kind of stuff you root for where, like, all of a sudden some guy we never heard of becomes a main character and now we see how he responds and what his career ends up becoming? And I don't know. That feels like a very Jason Wilde thing to enjoy watching that trajectory.
Yeah, well, if he rebounds from it, great. But that's a tough look, man. Holy cow. I mean, to be taunting fans while the play is going on behind you and you have no idea. Like, that's a tough one to recover from. I am curious to see what his career trajectory is, no doubt about it.
Is that something, real quick, and I'll get to the Packers, but is that something that, like, may have happened before, but we wouldn't have seen it because of social media? Or do you think one of the cameras would have pulled that out at some point? Like, or is this like a new, hey, these things may have happened before, we just didn't know about it?
I don't think it would have happened during the NFL Plus era where normal people like us have access to the All 22 film, because you would have certainly seen it then and somebody would have tweeted it out. We wouldn't have known it in the moments after the game, because the fan who posted that, his video went viral pretty quickly. But yeah, it could have happened, in Tausch's day, for example, when I was still recording games on VHS and only had the TV copy, but definitely not in the last decade plus where we've had access to that all 22 video.
Jason, it's been a while since we talked, but let's get the like the quick health stuff for today out of the way. So Jordan Love's health, Jacob's health, any other health we need to worry about coming into this game? Obviously, we know Aiden Hutchinson's out, but any other Packers health we need to be thinking about coming into 325 today?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, let's start with the two you mentioned. I mean, I think, you know, Josh Jacobs, we were talking to him during the week, and his mentality was basically, look, in order to be able to go on Sunday, I need to take it easy during the week. So I got to get my body back. So he didn't practice Wednesday, minimal work on Thursday and Friday. He's listed as questionable, but I think in the old days of having probable as an option on the injury report, which has been gone now since like 2017, he'd be probable and he's going to play. I would be shocked unless something totally unexpected happens in warmups with his ankle. He's playing. Jordan Love, I always think it's interesting because when Adam Schefter and those the folks that are insiders that talk to these guys' agents and get the inside scoop about their availability, it's always interesting to me that they phrase it as Jordan Love is expected to play. Well, expected by whom, right? And the example that I will use from this morning is Brian Robinson, the running back for the Commanders. He was expected to play. Adam and others used that exact phrasing for him, and he's inactive. Adam just tweeted that he, you know, the pregame workout did not go well. So he's not, you know, Adam's a really smart guy. He did not say Jordan Love will play. He couched it wisely because we don't know that for certain. Now, I would say that the Packers clearly expect him to play because they didn't call up Sean Clifford from the practice squad. And if for some reason Jordan Love isn't able to play, it's Malik Willis, and that's it. It's too late to call Sean Clifford up. So they don't have that as an option. So obviously they expect him to play, they want him to play, and they are planning on him playing. Now, after that, though, there's a couple of other pieces here that I think are going to be really interesting to watch when the injury report or when the inactive list comes out. At 1:55 while we're doing Green Bay game day. One is Josh Myers, their starting center. He is listed as doubtful. He did not practice all week. He has a left wrist injury. He snaps with his right hand, but obviously he needs his left hand to block people. There was talk about him using some sort of club cast to protect that wrist. I'm guessing that they're experimenting with that. They did not want him throwing that hand during the week and, you know, basically saving the hits on it until game day. But doubtful, guys that are listed as doubtful very rarely play. So if he does not play, that means Elton Jenkins goes to center, Sean Ryan starts at left guard, and Jordan Morgan starts at right guard. And then the other question mark here with Evan Williams already out at safety is Jaire Alexander. He is also questionable. If he doesn't go, that further creates that chain reaction in their secondary. They already are going to have to move Javon Bullard, who has been working in the slot, to safety, which is where he took a ton of snaps there during the week and during the training camp. So it's not like he's completely out of position by any means. But then that means you got to move Keyshawn Nixon inside from the outside on passing downs. It means either Eric Stokes or Carrington Valentine has to play that outside spot if they have Jaire Alexander. And if they don't, they have to play both those guys. And it appeared to me, and Matt LaFleur, because of my poor choice of question, choice of words in my question, wouldn't say so, but I'm pretty sure that they benched Eric Stokes down the stretch of that game in Jacksonville and brought Carrington Valentine in. And if Jaire Alexander isn't playing, both those guys have to play corner today.
So that's a lot of stuff going on today, huh?
Yeah, yeah, not just Jordan Love. Yeah, Jordan Love, top of the line of conversation with injuries, but especially going against a team that has scored 172 points in the last four games. That's not ideal for your secondary. If Jaire plays, I think they're okay. I think, you know, Bullard has plenty of work at safety. He started the season there until Evan Williams basically forced his way onto the field. So that I don't think is catastrophic. But if they have to slow down this offense, and I know they don't have Jameson Williams, and I understand that the Lions have injuries too. They got a really good offensive line. We all know they've got a really good tight end in LaPorta. They got a bunch of wide receiver weapons still. And they've got Jared Goff, who, if he is not under duress, is playing quarterback as good as anybody in the league right now.
Well, Jason, my metric for measuring quarterbacks is
QBR.
Is the QBR, yes, of course. And so it's interesting because I don't know if I've ever seen anyone with this big of a difference. So Goff is second to Lamar Jackson in passer rating in the NFL. So in passer rating, he's the second best passer. In QBR, Jared Goff is 22nd out of 30 in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a pretty wide disparity. He lost four fumbles. He is definitely a different, you know, I think, you know, Matt LaFleur, who has a particular affinity for him, having coached him in L.A., tried to be as nice about it while also clearly stating the fact, and that is, and Tausch talked about it during the week. I mean, and you both are right in your assessment of Goff. When everything is the way it's designed, and he doesn't have to go off schedule, he doesn't have to move in the pocket, he's just able to, in rhythm, make throws. He's really good. He is, regardless of what his QBR is. The trouble comes when you get pressure on him. And to me, that's what today is all about, with whether they can do it with four. They certainly haven't shown the ability to do that, and this is a really good offensive line they're going against. So that means Jeff Hafley's going to have to get creative again.
Now Jason, is there anything we can take from Thanksgiving? Because I know it's a different coach, it's a different year, it's a different everything, but that was like the best I saw the Packers defensive line look. And I don't study defensive, right? But like that day, it was like they just were getting pressure on the Lions like whenever they needed to. I mean, is there anything that Packers fans can take from the last time these two teams played on Thanksgiving?
Sure. And, I'll be curious. It's going to be wet, so I don't know how that's going to impact them. I know Decker has not played well of late. We were talking to TJ Lang about him. TJ's on the Lions radio network and obviously did our players only YouTube earlier in the season with Tausch. Ragnow's been playing through an injury, so it's not ideal for them either. And this sure feels like an opportunity, but this all ties together because if you can get pressure with four, then you have a buffer, basically, if you're playing without both Evan Williams and Jaire Alexander in your secondary. If you need to start sending more and being more creative, which I do think they're going to have to do, then you obviously expose yourself to some risk in the back end. So, again, I don't know what Jeff Hafley has planned. I loved his answer when I asked him during the week about, you know, the idea of getting pressure on Goff. It was basically, look, we can't just heat him up on every third down and send five or six guys. We need to be able to make him think somebody's coming and then someone else comes and all these other, you know, ways to try and confuse him. And Jared Goff's played in the league for a long time. He's seen a lot of things. So shy of actually getting in his face and getting him off the spot, I don't know how susceptible he is to seeing ghosts or being confused, but that's what they're going to have to try and do today if they're going to have success against it.
We'll have more with Jason Wilde as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
As we continue with Jason Wilde, so much to get into. As all we really were talking about was the injuries. And I mean, yeah. and we haven't even gotten into like what these teams actually are and what, you know, what a 6-2 Packers team. Because I was saying, if you told me that they were going to lose the first game and Jordan Love was going to get injured and then they'd be sitting at 6-2, I would say you'd have to be feeling ridiculously amazing about this team. But I don't know if people do feel that way. I mean, what's your take as we hit the midway point of the season?
Well, first of all, obviously, Malik Willis has saved their season. And I don't know if you had a couple of Coors Lights on the table with Goody, if he would even say, oh, yeah, I knew that he was going to be able to come in.
Well, Jason, this is where I said on Jane, Gabe, and Chewy, I don't give Goody the credit for the Malik Willis deal. Because I believe he did that as a developmental long-term deal.
I think you have to
give LaFleur all the credit, because LaFleur and Malik Willis, obviously, give first and foremost Malik Willis the credit, but also LaFleur, because he took a guy that was brought in to be developmental and had 2 weeks to get him ready. And you know, and you saw how basic what he asked him to do was against the Colts, which is why I said earlier in the show, to me, the biggest surprise win of the year for the Packers was actually at the Titans. I did not see that coming because of how limited the offense was at home against the Colts and how good the Titans defense had been. That's the win that surprised me the most for the Packers this year.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. Now people will say, well, Karmazin and Wilde are Goody haters. No, I give him credit for a lot of the other things he's put on this roster. There's no doubt about it. And look, he still deserves some credit because he did make that trade to acquire the guy. But I totally agree with you. He did not go into this believing that if Jordan Love, who did not miss a game last year, remember, were to suffer an injury, that he would be able to win 2.5 games. I mean, look, given the time of the game when Jordan Love gets hurt, if you have someone who is not adept to the degree that Malik Willis was for the entire second half, you lose that game. And suddenly now we're talking about, let's say they lose those other two games that they won early in the year, or let's even say that they split. They're 1-2 in the three games, or 0-3 in the three games that Malik Willis played. And now they're sitting at 3-5 or 4-4 at best, instead of at 6-2. So, and what I think this does is that gives them a little bit of wiggle room. Now, I'm not saying that they don't want to win today. And obviously with Jordan Love playing, that is a huge thing that they're going to be able to have him in the lineup. But even if, let's say they lose today, I still don't think that is the death knell for them winning this division. If you look at what the Lions have ahead of them, they don't have an easy path. The Packers' schedule also gets more challenging. They've got some pretty big games down the stretch, too. So this is a critical game. Don't get me wrong. It's pivotal in their season, but it is not an end-all, be-all. And I'm really curious to see how Love plays. And if he doesn't play well, or if he looks hampered, are they willing to say, all right, he's not ready to play. He's not able to do what we need him to do. He tried it. Are they willing to go to Malik Willis if it comes to that today?
No.
These are all things that
no.
I don't think so either.
No, I mean, because I think
benching him.
But what
I'm
we saw against
he
the
doesn't look like he's well.
But don't you think that's what we saw against the Vikings? Like it was like, maybe he's not ready yet. He's not planting well. He's thrown some picks, and then he figured it out and played great. Right? I mean, I think that's what's more likely to happen, even if Jordan Love comes out and doesn't look good in the first quarter.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's ineffective. I'm saying he's doing the same thing he did last week. Like, look, he makes the throw, right, to Tucker Kraft, and it turns into a 67-yard gain. But you see him hopping around.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think if he's hurt.
If he's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's him taking himself. Like, if he realizes he can't be playing, then he might not play. I think, Jason, your hot take there was that you think the Packers can lose this game and win the division?
I do.
Now, is this because you don't
like that, Jason?
Is this because you don't? I mean, so that means you certainly don't buy into like the Bears and Vikings, like that you don't believe this to be the murderer's row division that it seemingly appeared to be through the first 7-8 weeks of the year.
I don't. I think the Vikings are better than I thought they were going to be this year. I don't think that they are as good as we were starting to think they were when they were sitting at 5-0. I think Kevin O'Connell is a really good coach, and they're going to win more games. But I don't. I think ultimately they may not even.
Oh, no, we lost Jason.
We did lose Jason.
That's a rarity. I don't know if that's ever happened.
You know what's crazy about the Bears?
What, Craig? What? Let me hear what's crazy about the Bears. How good are they?
No.
I'm sure. Oh, what? Okay.
Come on now. The teams they've beaten are the Titans.
Trash.
The Rams.
Meh.
The Panthers.
Trash.
And the Jaguars.
Trash.
Right? So if you look at those teams, the Rams have 3 wins, but the other teams that they've beaten...
Combined 2 wins or three? Three. Combined 3 wins.
Right? Each have like 1 win. I guess the Jaguars have 2 now, right? But, I mean, so the Bears, if they had beaten the Commanders last week, I think that you have to give them a whole different look and feel to their season, right?
You think the Commanders are good?
I think the Commanders are... I mean, they're 6-2. I mean, they're...
Finding ways to win.
Commanders have kind of been like the Packers, right?
The difference is the Packers are clearly better than the Commanders.
But I'm saying if you look at what they've done on the field, the Commanders went to Cincinnati and beat the Bengals. The Commanders...
A Met team this year.
Blew out the Arizona Cardinals.
They did. They
played really competitive against the Ravens. I think the Packers are better than the Commanders. Like, I don't think... I don't have a... You know, I don't think that's a hot take, right? I think the Packers are better than the Commanders, but I don't think they're in like a totally different world than them. Back to Jason Wilde.
Well, there's nothing worse in radio than continuing to talk and not realizing that you're talking to your dog and no one else.
That's when though, having a dog at least meant you weren't talking to yourself. That's good.
That's true. I don't think she was listening, though. I think she was sleeping. So, anyway, I'm not sold on the Bears and the Vikings.
Yeah, what I was just saying to Kyle is the Bears' 4 wins are against, you know, the Rams, who didn't have their receivers at the time, and then like the Titans, Jags, and like, you know, teams that aren't competitive teams. So I think we maybe would have looked at the Bears a little different had they beat the Commanders last week. Kyle's saying...
That's what I was saying when I was talking to myself. Perfect.
Nice.
Glad you covered for me.
Nice. And so then when you do look at the NFC, let's look at it as a conference where we said Detroit's the only one with a better record than the Packers. Are you ready to say the Packers are the third best team behind the Eagles and the Lions today? Like, where do you rank them? And Kyle, I want your answer to this also.
I think today they're the second best team in the NFC. I do.
You say Lions now, 1, Packers 2.
Packers 2. Look, here's the
and
thing
even though
I
the Eagles and
is,
even though the Eagles beat them, you're going to put the Packers ahead of the Eagles.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of them, and I am certainly open to being convinced that I'm wrong on that. I'm also of the belief that the team that scares me and the team that I wouldn't want to play, even if they don't win their division and they end up as a wild card somehow, is San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they've lost Ayuk. That's obviously not good, but they seem to be getting healthier everywhere else. Christian McCaffrey could be back soon. Their other running back has been, Mason has been a really pleasant surprise for them. He's in the top 5 in rushing. That's a team that I don't want any part of if I'm a Packers fan or if I'm Kyle. That's the team that I think my team, the Packers, are better than, but I'm a little bit worried about how they will look 6 weeks from now when you compare the two, or frankly, in what, 2.5 weeks or whatever it is. What do they play them on? The 24th, Kyle? Is that when they play the 49ers?
Is it the week after?
Yeah, I mean, we said this is Lions, 49ers. Lions bye at Bears, 49ers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the Niners aren't what they were coming into the year, but this is a 3-game, 4-week period that's going to tell us a lot about this team.
Agreed.
And look, and some of those NFC tiebreakers also, right? We, you know, when we're talking about, you know, you know, not just division, but potential wild card, you know, tie breaking.
Mm-hmm. And the Lions again, then a couple weeks after that, because they then play at home on Thanksgiving night against the Dolphins. And then they turn right around, and the following Thursday, they're in Detroit to face the Lions again. So this is obviously a very critical stretch, no doubt about it. But I still feel good about this team. And, you know, I understand that, you know, we'd like to – it was interesting talking to offensive guys this week. I know Rob Domofsky wrote about this as well on ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. But the offensive guys are frustrated. Like, even with Love missing time, even with the fact that they're still 6-2, or you could say, well, it's okay, we'll get it figured out. You know, talking with Elgton Jenkins, talking with Tucker Kraft, talking with Jordan Love, they're all like, we're just leaving so much out there. And that, to me, is the difference between them and the Lions right now, is the Lions aren't leaving stuff out there. They're putting up so many points. The one time that the Lions lost, they were in the red zone 7 times. Woo. Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they scored 1 touchdown.
Wow.
So the one time that they lost, they had every opportunity to blow that game wide open too. So it's going to be a Jeff Hafley game today. I think if they can prevent this from becoming a track meet where the Packers have to keep up scoring wise, if they can harness a little bit of the Lions offense and keep it from putting up a really big number on the Lambeau Field scoreboard, I like their chances at home.
Wow, you just made me change one of my picks today in a confidence pool. I just upped my confidence in the Commanders from 5 up to 10, because the last time they played the Giants, they were in the red zone 7 times and settled for 7 field goals en route to a 21-18 victory. So Kyle, let me hear yours. Where do the Packers rank in the NFC?
I agree. There's a second-place team in the NFC, and I agree with actually the sentiment of the offensive players. I just feel like the Packers have not found a consistent rhythm. We saw them play very well against the Cardinals, but we haven't seen them put together a full game. And so I kind of feel the way that the players feel, and I think that's why Jason may have them as number 2, because you know how good they are. But Jason, you don't feel like they've been playing up to their full potential this year.
You said it perfectly, Kyle. There's just so much more out there for them. And if they can do in the second half of the season what they did in the second half last year, they're so much better positioned already than they were last year when they struggled so much in the first half and didn't know what their offensive guys were capable of. And we didn't know what Jordan Love was.
Wait, so Jason, are you saying I should add the Packers plus 3 in this confidence pool, that they should be one of my 5 teams I picked this week? Or are we not sure?
No,
too much health stuff this week, so we stay away from this week?
Health. Yeah, 2 things. One, health. And second, I there's part of me that thinks this would favor the Packers, but I do not like the weather forecast. Now, I certainly would like it even less if I was sitting in the bleachers, but it's supposed to rain all game long, essentially. So that, you know, Rodgers used to say that wind, but not rain, not snow, not cold weather affected the offense. It was just wind. And so we'll see if Jordan Love plays the same way that Rodgers would under all these other conditions. He thought that they could throw the ball effectively. He would always say that a slippery track favored the offense because they knew where they were going and the defense didn't. But of course, that flip side, here's the craziest stat that I still can't believe. We are in week 9 of the NFL season, and the Detroit Lions are playing outside for the first time this year. And one of only 3 outdoor games that they will play all year. So I don't know if that slippery, rainy, wet weather is going to benefit the Packers against a team that could not be more of an indoor team to this point in the year. But I'm always leery of weather games, that funny stuff happens, and I would never risk my confidence pool on a game like this with this weather.
All right, last thing for both of you. So you both just said the Packers are the second best team in the NFC. I go over to ESPN Bet right now, and it says odds to win the Super Bowl. You have the Lions, the 49ers, and the Eagles all ahead of the Packers, who are 4th. The Packers are sitting at 15-1. Right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are 14-1 to win an NBA Finals. Who do you, Jason and Kyle, feel better about Packers to win the Super Bowl today or the Bucks to win the NBA Finals. As the Bucks sit here at 1-5, and we will save the receipts on this. We'll start with you, Kyle.
Oh, the Packers. The Packers. The Bucks haven't shown me any type of potential of the fact that other than they're old. So I'm going with the Green Bay Packers because I think they do have a shot.
All right, Jason.
All right, so if we're saying it today on November 3rd, the clear answer has to be the Packers, because even what Kyle and I were just talking about them offensively, you still have seen glimpses of how good they can be. I don't feel like we've seen that from the Bucks. My issue is that there's 6 games into the season. That's not even 1/10 of the season yet, right? They're not even to 10%. Of their schedule.
Right. They're like 0-1 if it was an NFL season, maybe getting close to 0-2.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. So I'm not willing to write them off. So I am curious why the 49ers, given everything that they've dealt with, would be still a better, a higher odds. What does that go? They've got better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Packers do right now. I am curious what ESPN bets odds makers would feel that way.
Yeah, and they're ahead of the Bills. I mean, they're ahead of the Bills. I mean, so they are fourth overall. So really interesting, massive game. Green Bay game day coming up right at noon, right as we jump off. Jason Will, the hour, always an exciting part of that show. Jason, look forward to hearing more of you coming up soon as we get ready for this monster clash of NFC North leaders. And Jason's, you know what? Let's get a Palermo's pick from Jason real quick, because Palermo's is amazing. Yesterday, I got the Screamin' Sicilian cheesy bread. I didn't even know it existed. I was at Sendix yesterday and picked that up. It's amazing, from our good friends at Palermo's. For multi-generations, Wisconsin-owned, creating jobs here. They are Wisconsin's pizza, but they even have more stuff. Like that Screaming Sicilian cheesy bread I picked up yesterday. So, Jason, your Palermo's pick sounds like it's going to go Detroit, but you're still saying the Packers can win the division?
I do believe that, but I'm going to say that I think the Packers win this today.
Go Pack, Kyle!
I like that.
Jason Wilde.
Listen, Jason, that would make for a good Sunday after what we had to watch over this past weekend with our Wisconsin sports, so I need this.
Yeah. Well, I hope that they give it to you, buddy.
Well, we'll hear Wilde and Tausch have to say on Monday about the Badger loss, and I'm sure they'll also be talking about this,
not much.
This Packers game against the Lions. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Hey, we got a lot of extra Jason Wilde after many, many of us all being away. I don't know if we have time for a 7-Eleven. We can sneak one in.
We'll maneuver some commercials and do some things.
All right, we'll be back quick, and we'll get you to hopefully a 7-Eleven as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.